Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is Anthony Soule, and better known as the Cleveland Strangler. So we have a serial killer today, Brandy. Are you a bit shocked by that?
I'm so surprised. I'm getting the vapors. I'm glad I'm sitting down.
You look a bit faint.
I am a bit faint.
Because, you know, we seldom cover serial killers.
We really do. So yeah, I'm really happy that we're doing
and
this.
And a neglected source of
You have
podcasts.
Not been introduced yet.
Yeah, you have not been introduced yet.
Well, let me introduce both of you.
Shut your claptrap, devil.
Your claptrap?
Yeah.
On my left, joining me, as always, is the very lovely and talented, the mistress of the macabre, the empress of evil, the queen of mean, and Satan's dirty little secret, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I am great, Timmy. How are you?
I am well. I'm looking forward to this covering this topic because this guy was creepy.
He was.
Well, I guess he is.
Creepy.
He's still alive, so he's still creepy.
Whatever.
I'm sure.
He's creeptastic.
Yes. And of course, joining me to my right is the very distinguished and honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm wonderful and happy to be back, Timmy. Actually, I'm not wonderful, Timmy. I'm not doing well.
You really are not. Your wife is out. First of all, you was out of town over the weekend, right?
I was in Chicago for my boy's graduation.
Yes, and did that go well?
That was lovely. It was a beautiful day. Everything went according to plan.
Did you run into Sinead O'Connor? Because it apparently is Sinead O'Connor.
I would rather not discuss Sinead O'Connor.
Apparently, she's missing in Chicago somewhere.
And suicidal.
Yeah, so, but you do not have her.
Been that way for a while.
You do not have her. I mean, I shouldn't say that. We probably shouldn't joke about it because then something will happen and we'll look like idiots.
But is there anybody who really cares if somebody? The only person who cares if something happens to Sinead O'Connor is Arsenio Hall.
Well, nothing compares to her.
And perhaps her husband.
No.
Is she married? I thought she was a lesbian.
She got married and had kids.
Yeah, but
so
apparently.
She switched teams?
No, apparently so. Her. She has some, I don't know. I don't want to.
She's just bitter.
But anyway, we hope that Sinead O'Connor is doing well. You know, the connection there is because her biggest hit, of course, was Nothing Compares to You, and you know who wrote that?
Prince.
Yeah.
I know.
You know Arsenio Hall suing her, right?
Yes, I do.
But he's not going to win because he's a public figure, and the bar is so high when you sue a public figure. That he's not going to win. Brandy and I were talking about that earlier. But anyway, let's move on, shall we, Colonel? Do we have any shout-outs?
Well, let's see. I got Allie, who's on Team Colonel.
She is not on Team Colonel. She's non-affiliated.
Look, Allie, you crazy-ass woman. Put up on the damn page that you're on Team Colonel.
All right, who else?
Let's see. I got to give a shout-out to little Ryan Taylor. He's turned into just a hell of a baseball player, Demi. And Kim
this
Taylor,
is Kim's,
of course.
Kim's son.
Kim said she was riding the fence. She could flip the team colonel any given moment.
Well, you know, she really should join my team since I should have made that part of our bet because I'm just destroying her in song pop.
Well, I mean, the girl's from Kentucky. You got to take joy in beating somebody from Kentucky or something.
I live in Kentucky.
Well, I guess that's true. That makes you kind of equal in deficiencies, yeah. But But she hails from Alabama.
She does hail from Alabama. Same as Forrest Gump.
And there ain't a whole lot of difference.
There is, too. Kim is very bright.
She is very bright.
She's very bright, very nice lady. And, of course, and she's very good at song pop. It's just I'm better.
I don't play song pop. I just occasionally get some updates on her son's baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid's just a little stub baseball player.
He is. So who else?
And Caitlin, her little lovely daughter.
No, he needs to take 8 years doing one.
Of course, I got we got Lady Beverly,
mm-hmm.
who told us that basically every night you're murdering 8 million people, Timmy.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, no, no.
I think you both are.
No. You mean the...
Renegon, I had...
You need to explain that, because our listeners will have no idea what
somebody Lady Beverly posted that every sperm that is not used to fertilize an egg is murder.
Yeah, so, you don't want to spill your seed.
Right. So, with Renegon, much free time on you, I could have Hiroshima and Nagasaki in the same day.
It's a holocaust in your house.
Jeez. It's just hell all the way around.
Who else do you have a shout-out for?
Of course, Lady Beverly. Let's see. You know who I haven't given a shout-out to and I need to give one to?
Who?
Bob Mears and Sons.
Oh, yeah, Bob. We heard from him not too long ago. He sent an email saying everything was going well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's been busy. But
he's been busy because he got 2 daughters. It's probably driving him crazy.
But that was because we advertised for him. He was just getting crazy-ass business.
Poor bastard has to paint the Statue of Liberty.
Well, and he's getting, because we're, you know, our listeners are all around the world. I mean, he's going to Denmark. He's mm-hmm. He's painting a kitchen in, Japan. And mm-hmm. he's painting a living room in Macedonia. I mean,
he just put a base coat on the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Did he? Yeah, that was quite a job. So, yeah, Bob Mears and Sons painting. How long has he been stroking, Colonel?
He's been smooth stroking for 27 years, Timmy.
Yeah.
It's genocide.
Yeah, it might be genocide.
That would be, let me see, 27 hours, 25 years ago. Okay.
Okay. So, that's our shout-out.
No, it ain't our shout-out.
No, he's not.
We got Dottie Scott.
Mom, Dottie Scott.
Dottie, we love you. You know, we do these shows just for you, Dottie.
Right. So, thank you for listening. Everyone who's on our Facebook page, please join us on our Facebook page. We have two. We have one called History Dweebs, where we post a lot of historical information, and we have one called History Dweebs, the podcast, and that's where we interact with all our listeners. So if you get a chance, join us there. It's a lot of fun. Wouldn't you say, Brandy?
I would say that if it was fun. But
yeah. No, it is a lot of fun. You're just being mean.
It's grumpy.
Yeah, you're grumpy today.
I'm grumpy cat today.
Yeah, she is
grumpy. I really am.
So, Colonel, of course, if anyone has a reason to be grumpy, it's the Colonel. His wife, the lovely Renee, is in Florida.
She's in Harry Potter World.
Harry Potter World, and she's posting all the cool
Harry
things.
Harry Potter. She's in Harry Potter World.
Harry Potter
World. She's posting all the cool things that she's doing, and here you are in your office eating a Hot Pocket for lunch.
God. My problem is, and I realize this, Timmy, is when a Mrs. ain't around...
Mm-hmm.
The Colonel life lacks structure. It was like last night, I find myself, I get up in the morning, and, she had to go to the airport early.
It's like when you got one of those little toy robots, and you just, you have to, you turn them on, and you put them in one direction, they just keep hitting a wall.
It's kind of like that, because I don't really know when bedtime is unless she tells me.
Right.
I don't know when dinner time is unless she tells me. I realized this yesterday, that she's kind of my personal assistant or my life coach. Or
you kind of are you discovering that you're like mildly retarded?
I'm discovering
mildly
mildly
retarded.
That there are things in life I have I should have learned to do a long time ago.
Yeah, like cook.
Like
be
yesterday.
A decent human being.
Okay, we got this can opener, and it's a weird can opener because it just cuts
opener?
It straight. It's a weird can opener.
You can't
I don't know how the goddamn
opener.
Thing works.
I don't understand how you
do you know how to dial LaRose's phone number?
You know how to dial 911.
Yesterday, I just had to go get food. But Rudy, because I like to keep him on a healthy diet, I give him one thing of dog food in the morning, one bowl of dog food. And then for his supper, he gets either a can of peas or a can of green beans.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't figure out how to open up the goddamn can. I finally got it open. It took me a screwdriver and
mildly some, retarded.
No, it's not a regular can opener.
I don't want to hear your shit.
I'm going to take a picture and post this, son of a bitch. You got to do it weird. It cuts the top completely off.
So you don't cut yourself.
No, it's terrible.
Yes, no, that's why it's made that way, so you don't cut yourself.
But I think it makes the can a sharp tool. I mean, I could make it a ninja
weapon.
Makes
you a sharp tool.
Yeah, Renee, hurry back, please, because Rudy is going to go without. Rudy's going to be eating Hot Pockets.
My God.
For dinner. All right, so let's jump into this topic, shall we? The Cleveland Strangler. The name of this guy is Anthony Soul. I think we decided that's how you pronounce it.
He's a soul man.
Well, I'm not sure he has a soul. He is not a very nice guy, but let's talk a little bit about him. And his. This is kind of a recent story. His dastardly deeds were committed back in the late 2000s, 2007, 2008. And he finally was arrested in 2009. But kind of a creepy guy. Anthony Edward Soul.
Kind of a creepy guy.
Yeah, kind of a creepy guy. Is a convicted serial killer. He was known as the Cleveland Strangler, as I mentioned.
Yes.
He was arrested in October of 2009 and is suspected in the murders of seven women whose bodies were found and discovered in his Cleveland, Ohio duplex home in the Mount Pleasant neighborhood.
Nothing good happens in Cleveland.
Well, he lives in Mount Pleasant. It sounds like a nice neighborhood.
You know what I was wondering about this, Timmy?
Not very pleasant, I guess.
What? If these people that get killed, if you live in Cleveland,
mm-hmm. aren't you asking for it?
And you get strangled, are you happy about it?
I don't know, man. You know, they had the torso killer was also from Cleveland.
But, I mean, you ain't got... If you're living in Cleveland, what the hell? I mean, you got to worry about the river catching on fire and all that nonsense. But I've been to Cleveland.
Browns are never going to win.
No, they're not.
It's a horrible city. It's a horrible city. And listeners, if you live there, move to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Or just come down and live
with Detroit,
for that matter. Yeah, Detroit is a step up.
There's some nice places in Cleveland.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is the only
Rock
place.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They got the bottoms down there.
Angle.
Which I was afraid
flats.
To go to.
The flats.
The bottoms.
Well, see, I was afraid because they said it was the flats or the bottoms, and I was like, I don't want to go to the bottoms.
Angora Theater there. They have a lot of work.
Little Italy is nice in Cleveland, but let's get on with the story.
All right. So anyway, he had these 11 women's bodies in his house, or either he had six of them in his house rotting.
Yes.
And five of them were in his were in shallow graves in his backyard. So
this son of a bitch could have been on an episode of Hoarders.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really could. It was just good fortune for him that he lived next door to a sausage factory.
Is that the name of the gay bar?
Would be a good name for a gay bar.
It really would.
Now, he lived next door to a sausage factory, so whenever they were, the health department would get complaints about the terrible smell coming from his home, he would claim it was coming from the sausage factory. And then when they would talk to people in the sausage factory, they would say, no, we close our windows because we can't stand the smell coming
in.
Because
that's how bitch house stinks so bad.
Yeah. But anyway, he had six dead bodies in his house. Another five were buried in shallow graves in his backyard. So he's burying people in the middle of town. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about his childhood. Anthony Edward Soul was born on August 19, 1959 in Cleveland, Ohio. He was raised in East Cleveland. He was one of seven children born to his mother, Claudia Gertrude Garrison.
Gertie needed to find a new hobby.
Gertie was giving it up, apparently.
She was dirty Gertie.
Well, no, actually, I think she was married to his father. His father was absent most of his childhood. His father's name was Thomas Soul. He was absent from the home most of the time. But anyway, Gertie lived with her seven children in the Cleveland home, and then her daughter gave birth to seven more children. So they were...
Find a hobby.
What we
besides say, that
15 people in this house.
Yeah,
they were like the first Duga family, huh?
Yeah, it was
the first what
Duga family.
Duggars, the Duggars,
Dugas.
No, they're the Duggars.
The Duggars.
They're not. And you say it different every time. It's Duggar.
And, well, you know, we should mention, because it's such an anomaly, he's another one of the very few African-American serial killers.
Yeah, we say that every time, but there, it's kind
of... We've only had, like, one, maybe.
Well, no.
We do, like, 10 serial killers a week here.
Well, but true. It predominantly, serial killers are white males.
And if I was ever going to be a serial killer...
But we're running more and more into... I mean, you got the guy in Atlanta who killed the kids, right? We talked about
that was 30 years ago.
We talked about Alton Coleman. So, I mean,
I think those are the exceptions to prove the rule, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, there is. It does seem that most are white, though. You're right. Anyway, he was raised in Cleveland, one of seven kids. His sister gave birth to seven kids, so they got 15 people living in this home. It was rather chaotic. According to Soul's niece, the mother, Gertie, would subject she didn't really beat Anthony too much, but she she would abuse his brothers and sisters and his cousins, I guess. In one incident, she forced one of the girls to strip naked in front of the other children while she whipped her with an electrical cord until she bled.
See, so. That just sounds like a Saturday night.
Well, Anthony was a young man. This is something he witnessed, and he would watch. She would have him watch these beatings on a regular basis.
Did he get a chubby?
Well, that's kind of a problem, because when he turned 11, Sol started raping his nieces on almost a daily basis for 2 years. So
that's so gross.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, convenient because...
Sure.
Yeah.
They're right there.
They're right there. And now, Colonel, here's a question for you. When you're 11 years old, were you shooting blanks at that point, or were you...
I don't think the Colonel was actually shooting anything but cap guns until I was probably 13 years old.
Yeah. So he got a young start.
And then it became like an AK-47. It just kept going. It was popping all the time.
Yeah, well...
I could do drive-bys with the sausage.
Apparently he was abusing his nieces anyway when he was 11. He was a shy but intelligent child and did fairly well in school early on. He was quiet and well-liked. He could be come across as charming.
Until he got rapey.
I'm sure his nieces may have another impression of him, but he and the 11 women that he murdered. But he came across as charming and was a nice guy.
Not rapey.
Well...
People on the show like the devil. Look at her. She's a terrible human being. It just goes to show you.
What the fuck are you talking about? I'm not a terrible human being.
Well, anyway, you're a terrible human being.
Whatever.
His quiet demeanor would be
his
used.
What?
His quiet demeanor
okay.
would be used to disarm his victims and lure them into a false sense of security when he started to do his dastardly deeds. So Sol claims that he graduated from Shaw High School in Cleveland. Shaw High School begs to differ. There's no
Would you claim that he went there?
There's no record to show that he graduated high school, but actually it looks like he came up a few credits short. But he did contribute to his alma mater when he got one of his co-students pregnant.
There you go.
When he was 18. So he got this girl pregnant in high school. Now, neither her or her daughter, he had a little girl, now grown, neither of them have been willing to be interviewed about their relationship with Sol. So, they're disowning him, basically, which is probably a good move. At 19, Sol joined the United States Marine Corps. He attended basic training at Parris Island in South Carolina. And he further went on to be trained as an electrician in Camp Lejeune in North Carolina.
I've been there.
In Camp Lejeune?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a very nice place.
Okay. The Marines taught Sol how to subdue and kill using his hands and how to use everyday objects as weapons.
Like his thumb.
If you're going to be a serial killer, that's a handy thing to have.
It really is.
You need to learn your trade.
Well, he learned how to kill while he was in the Marines. In 1981, Sol married a fellow Marine, Kim Yvette Larson in a civil ceremony performed by a magistrate in North Carolina. He was 22 at the time. The marriage only lasted a short time, though, because Sol had a drinking problem, and his wife would not entertain that, so the marriage was short-lived.
She ain't having it.
Some women are funny about that.
Yeah, I guess he was drinking to excess. She ended up dying years later in 1998 while he was serving some time in a high penitentiary for an attempted rape. But she probably made a good move getting out of that marriage.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yes.
You're going to end up married to somebody like this if you don't treat Dave right.
Lanny. She's going to marry a guy named Lanny.
Marry a serial killer named Lanny.
He works at the Jiffy Lube.
No, he's going to work down at the KOI Auto Parts.
Oh, okay.
Everybody needs auto parts.
Mm-hmm. Got that right. So in 1984, he was still in the Marines and freshly divorced.
And he rides a bus.
He was sent to serve in Okinawa, Japan.
Okinawa?
Mm-hmm. At Camp Butler in Okinawa. And Colonel, you may remember, I think Camp Butler is named after Smedley Butler.
It is.
Who, as you remember, we did the podcast on...
The business plot.
Yeah, and...
Colonel remembers. You think the Colonel don't pay attention?
You got a mind like a steel...
sieve.
Yeah, whatever.
Trap. It shit goes in there. It just don't come back out.
No, it all comes back out.
All at once.
Right.
There's some suspicion that while he was in Okinawa, that he may have started... raping and killing women because there were some unsolved murders occurred while he was there. And he was known to frequent prostitutes in Japan, the geisha girls. So during his...
hooker tastic.
I want one of those ninja hookers. They are... They're very quick.
They sneak up on you and you what?
Yeah, and they sneak up on you, do their job, and then they're gone before you know it. Because you know you pay the hooker to leave afterwards, right?
You do.
That's what you pay them.
It's an honorable profession.
I think so. A year later, he was transferred to Camp Pendleton in California, and I think that's where Gomer Pyle was stationed.
I don't know where Gomer Pyle was.
Gomer was that?
Yeah.
Sergeant Carter, he was my favorite person.
But, Colonel, don't you think he deserved a promotion? I mean, he was a sergeant for a long time.
No, he was a he was one of those what do you call him?
He worked for a living. He didn't have he wasn't an officer.
He was a general.
Yeah, there's certain I forget the name. I've never been in the military. The sergeants did train the men.
Drill instructor.
Drill instructor. Yeah. Sergeant Carter was a drill instructor.
I still think he should deserve promotion. I mean, the Captain Kangaroo was a captain forever.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not sure about Captain Kangaroo because I think he might have been in the Merchant Marine.
Hmm. All right.
Because his hat didn't... I kept looking at his hat, and I was like, you know what?
You think something was going on with him and Mr. Green Jeans?
Oh, you know there was. You know there was.
Jesus Christ.
Mr. Green Jeans was a freak. Somebody on that show wrote a book, and, I mean, Captain Green Jeans... Mr. Green Jeans just wouldn't keep him on.
Yeah.
He just would not keep the
jeans on. You'd think having green jeans, he would want to
keep them on. So, being that Captain Kangaroo was the captain, do you think he was like the...
He was a sodomite. He was violating Mr. Green Jeans.
Shut up!
Oh, you know he was.
You know what? First of all, him and Mr. Rogers both were like war heroes or some shit. Mr. Rogers was a fucking badass with a sniper rifle. He will fuck you up.
I like Mr. Rogers.
100 yards away.
I got all the respect in the world. I want to get to that point in my life where I just put a sweater on, don't give a fuck.
Yeah. You're there now without the sweater. Do you need a sweater?
Kind of where I'm at.
I want to be like Timmy.
Sweater and sneakers.
Except Mr. Rogers kind to people. You can't seem to pull that one off, Timmy.
Until he shoots them in the face.
That's true.
And Captain Kangaroo is awesome. He is not quickly.
No, Captain Kangaroo was a sodomite.
You're a sodomite.
No, yeah. I'm just telling you. I mean, I think he got a handy from the little rabbit because he always give him that carrot. He would always pull that carrot back.
I think you watched that show too closely.
Yeah. What the hell? I don't remember that.
All right. I'm sure like none of our listeners remember.
You know who's never been promoted is Captain Crunch.
Well, yeah.
That's mm-hmm. true.
He should be an admiral by now, for sure.
You know what I want to know?
Well, the thing is, he wears an admiral hat.
He does.
But he's not an admiral. He's a captain.
Yeah. So is that some kind of... That should be impersonating an officer.
It really is. I think he should be brought up on charges and walk
the brig.
Walk the plank.
You know who else? I wonder, now that they got... Because they said the captain and Tennille, mm-hmm. the captain was apparently not a general lover.
Gross.
And I wonder if he gets demoted now.
Yeah, I don't even know what he was a captain of. I just think he bought that hat.
And then he's a captain.
Please, can we get back to our story?
Kind of like Skipper. Went down the rabbit hole on Captain Kangaroo.
Anyway, so women started disappearing in Japan. And,
this guy.
But no one.
This guy over here with the shiny fingers.
No one made the connection between the disappearance and Seoul. So anyway, he comes back to Camp Pendleton. He gets discharged from the army. And even though there's some reports I've read where he was like he went AWOL and he had a bad record, he leaves there. He leaves the Marines with a good conduct medal and two letters of appreciation, a sea service deployment ribbon, a certificate of accommodation, and a honorable discharge. So he served his country. After his military service was complete, he returned to Cleveland and returned to... I don't know.
He's been all over the world, and he goes back to Cleveland.
He goes back to his home. He goes back to the house that he grew up with, and it is lime green. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little Green House, that's that John Mellencamp song.
Big houses.
Neighbors remember the house as being roomy, two-story house between Euclid Avenue and Forest Hill Park.
It's a fixer-upper.
And had a nice backyard. Now,
it did.
I wonder if when a realtor showed it to him, if he thought, roomy, I could store a lot of dead hookers.
Well, yeah. The thing was, his neighborhood, when he left it, the Golden Marine was mostly a working-class neighborhood. But, you know, what happened in the 80s is the crack epidemic took hold.
Crack is whack.
And drug users and prostitutes started moving into the neighborhood. So, you know, property values started to dwindle. Seoul would use this to his advantage. You know, some people would say, oh, my gosh, I've got to sell. And, you know, you had a white flight, people leaving the inner cities. But Seoul said, this is a good place for me to meet women. So he stuck around. He found various jobs. He worked in a factory. He was an electrician. Did different things. His mother was now deceased. His cousins moved out. So he lived in his childhood home all alone. He would drink a lot. As I mentioned, he had a drinking problem in the Marines. He would get very drunk. And he would get very angry. And... what happened would be that...
he was an angry drunk.
Well,
I would be angry if I lived next to a sausage factory.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I didn't realize that is that when you drink and you're on crack, it makes you violent.
Mm-hmm. You didn't realize that?
No, I mean there's some, you know, there's some chemical reaction that makes people very violent.
Crack usually make you kind of mellow.
Well...
Does it?
It didn't work for him when he was drinking. It made him very violent. And
doesn't it?
No,
I think cocaine makes you mellow, right?
No.
Well, crack is cocaine.
Well, it's, but it's a
no.
It's not a pure form of cocaine.
People get all jacked up on.
It's like meth.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit like meth. Wait, he's moving us along.
Yes, he was. He was divorced. He started drinking a lot. And he was ducking his responsibilities as a father. He had a 7-year-old girl and apparently was not paying his child support.
He's a shirker.
He was hitting the bottle pretty hard, having at least 6 drinks every day, starting at the first thing in the morning.
Is that a lot?
Well, see,
we figured this out, though. He was drinking 40s at Club 45. That's so 6 of those a day can kind of put you under the table.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah, so... he would start drinking, as I said, first thing in the morning, and he would occasionally black out. He began soliciting prostitutes in the area, especially those who were addicted to crack cocaine, and he would use that money or cocaine crack to get them into his home. And
yeah, because a cracker will go about anywhere.
Yeah, they were enticed to his home early, even though they would complain to each other about his rough demeanor when it came to sex. So word was getting out on him, but they would still go there because they needed the crack, right? So despite the word on the street that Saul
literally
was a freak, women kept going back for more money and more drugs.
No, because they had the crack.
Yes.
This crack me.
Crack boy.
The crack make my ass hurt. I ain't doing it no
Have
more.
You ever... No, wait. Here's the thing. Haven't you ever seen, like, Whitney Houston? Did you ever see her? She was always... She was strung out on that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always shouting and yelling. She wasn't mellow at
That's
all.
That's true.
She was crazy.
I thought it had to do
I just
with
always
Bobby
thought Brown. That cocaine, pure cocaine, not crack cocaine. I just thought pure cocaine would kind of made you mellow, but I've never done
speed.
Cocaine.
No, it hypes you up.
It's speed.
I've never done cocaine.
Smoke
I'm proud
pot.
To say.
I am a proponent of smoking pot.
Okay.
So, not long after his return to East Cleveland, dead bodies started showing up. In May of 1988, the body of 36-year-old Rosalind Garner was found in her home on Hayden Avenue. She'd been strangled. Carmela Karen Prater, 27, a resident of Page Avenue, and a suspected drug user, was found in an abandoned home on February 27, 1989. The cause of death is unknown. A month later, on March 28, the body of another suspected drug user, Mary Thomas, 27, was found near an abandoned building, again on First Avenue. The red ribbon that was used to strangle Thomas was still around her neck, but none of these cases were ever solved. East Cleveland police reopened the cases after, what do we say, Soul's arrest in the Imperial Avenue strangler case, and they found no link, which is stupid.
Yeah, it's here's the thing is they
didn't look very hard.
Yeah, and probably didn't care because like most of these victims were like prostitutes and homeless women or whatever, or drug addicts.
You know, and I'm gonna make my own little. Crack whore lives matter.
I agree. I think you're right, girl.
But the police didn't believe that.
CWLM.
Yeah, crack whore lives matter. Hashtag crack whore lives matter.
I totally agree. All lives matter. Go ahead, Brandy.
Let's see. So none of the cases were solved. There was no link. On July 22nd, 1989, Soul met the woman at a motel on Euclid Avenue. The woman who had a criminal record of drug use feared police who had arrived at the motel might arrest her. So she shows up and sees all these cops around her hotel. So she's afraid they would arrest her. So Soul sees her and tells her that her boyfriend is waiting for her at his house about 500 yards away. The boyfriend wasn't at Soul's house, so surprise.
He lies.
Clutch the pearls. He lied.
My goodness.
But a bed was there. A bed was there. So, yeah. So,
well, at least he had a bed.
He threw her on it, choked her, and raped her over and over, according to the police report. When she tried to leave, Soul bound her hands with a necktie, cinched a belt around her feet, and stuffed a rag in her mouth.
Good thing he didn't use a bow tie because that would probably not have worked.
It probably would not have worked. That's true. Then, because Soul had been drinking, he went ahead and passed out. Because that'll happen.
So he, wait a minute, he raped her and...
Raped her, and then because he'd been drinking, he just passed out and went to sleep.
Okay, well, maybe he was tired.
So she
raping
free.
Is a lot. Raping and pillaging is a lot of hard work, Colonel.
Serious business.
Well, you can't just, I mean...
You gotta pace yourself.
You do gotta pace yourself, especially when you're hitting the malt liquor real hard.
Yeah.
I wonder if he got the whiskey dick.
I don't know.
From Colt 45?
Well, I mean, you drink.
Then that's when you get to attempt a drape because you're hitting it with a floppy.
Hitting it with a floppy.
No, I think even if you hit it with a floppy, if it makes any kind of penetration, it's rape.
Okay.
And a floppy can make penetration.
So she wiggles free and escapes out the window, and she was attempting to hang drop from the second floor. Soul wakes up and then tries to pull it back through the window. And so when he's unable to do that, he said, well, that's fine, and started hitting her hands to force her to let go.
Pounding her hands on the windowsill.
So she fell two stories and crushed her skull on the concrete.
How did he think that was going to end up well?
I don't know. But the event caused the victim to have a miscarriage.
Yeah, she was a couple months pregnant.
She tried to get up. She cracked her skull. She tried to leave, and he bound her hands and feet, again, gagged her, but got her to a hospital, and she was in a coma for 3 days. When she came to, she
asked...
I wonder
if he did a coma rape.
I don't know, but you know he's got a few of these women where he lets them go.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And you know what happens then, Brandy?
Bitches be testifying,
and that is that's our new T-shirt. Bitches be testifying.
Bitches be testifying.
BBT. Tell the listeners why that's important, Colonel.
Well, it's important because if you're trying to hit a bitch with a floppy, she's gonna tell all her friends about.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's Amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
She's going to go out and testify about your floppy. She's going to tell everybody about your floppy. Now, I heard this from a friend.
And what if you're a serial killer and you let a woman go free?
Well, didn't they go tell the police? In the first five hookers, the police ignore.
You can let go five, but five mm-hmm. is your limit.
Yeah, five is your limit.
The sixth hooker rule.
There's some rookie somewhere like, well, maybe these are connected.
He's not been jaded.
Yeah.
Beat down.
Yeah.
So, bitches be testifying. You gotta remember that.
Bitches be testifying. Okay, let me write that on my hand.
So this chick is in the hospital. She's in a coma for 3 days. And when she comes to, she asks for a phone so she can call her husband to let her know what happened.
This is the one that had a meeting her boyfriend at the hotel.
Yeah. So she was doing dirty things anyway. She was probably slutty. So
this whole, hold on. This whore was going to meet her. She was married.
Uh-huh.
Going to meet her boyfriend.
Pregnant. Going to meet her boyfriend.
At the hotel.
The cops were there. She thought she'd be arrested. So then she thought her boyfriend was over at Sol's house. So then Sol takes her back to his house. The boyfriend's not there. But she gets bound and gagged and raped. And
can we agree she may have had it coming?
No, she didn't have it coming, but she's slutty.
Back in old days, it would
have
killed her.
She didn't have it coming.
And if she was in Afghanistan right now, they'd stone her ass to death.
Nobody has that coming. So anyway, but she was told by a nurse that her husband came in with her in the ambulance.
So that'd have been Sewell.
Well, see, he had some compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
or he was banging her in the ambulance.
Well, so she said her husband came with her in the ambulance. So about that time, the victim says, you know what, I need to talk to the cops.
Yeah.
So she told police that he choked me real hard because my body started tingling and I thought I was going to die. Sol was charged with kidnapping, rape, and attempted rape.
That's when he tried to hit him with the floppy.
That's when the floppy came in. Mm-hmm.
A grand jury indicted Sol in the July 22nd case. He didn't show up for his court date.
Well, imagine that.
You know what this is?
You know,
it's irresponsible.
This goes in the file of not my problem. This,
you know,
bitch,
this
raises
a question. I don't want to go down too many rabbit holes, but it's about what you posted about the woman who had the interconnecting things in her women parts.
Oh, that connected to her butthole?
The butthole connected to the
vagina. You're talking about a woman who had anal sex got pregnant.
What a horrible disappointment for you. Like, you think you're doing everything right, you go through all that, you get pregnant anyway.
Yeah.
Like, how dumb fucking luck
would you be charged with rape if it was a dead-end vagina?
If it was a dead-end vagina?
That's why she always had anal sex. She had a dead-end vagina. It's like the vagina. If you would try to get in there,
well, they should have a little. They should have little road signs up there anyway.
I think they should be. I think they should self-identify.
Like
cones on the page.
She should have cones.
She has an obligation to disclose.
If you got a dead end vagina, people need to know that.
You have an obligation to disclose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? No.
Well, if you're only going to be able to hit this thing with an inch and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you need to tell people. All right. And then you need to just say, here, I'm going to turn over, make it easier. But, you know, make sure you pull out because I could get pregnant.
So, anyway.
He sounds Jesus Christ. More than me.
I know. So he doesn't show up for court. He just says.
That's surprising. That's irresponsible. Yeah,
he just says, this is not my problem.
Now, see,
why are you talking to me about this shit?
What, don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
I thought he was of a higher moral character.
Yeah. So he didn't show. Which, by the way, I've learned, if you don't show and then it takes, then they take your bond that somebody's paid for you.
Yeah.
And people get pissed over that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if they're taking your house away or something. Unless it's lime green, then you
right, and then it's in my
yeah.
So on December 8th, the court issued an arrest warrant, but Sol was nowhere to be found.
Well, yeah, they probably drove by his house and didn't see the lights on, and
right. On. So 7 months later, and only 4 miles away.
7 months later, if this guy rape, attempted rape, assault. They don't even go pick this guy up.
Yeah, 4 miles away from his house.
They could have went down at lunch, picked him up.
Sure, on a jaunt, just out jaunting.
Yes.
So another woman said Sol raped her. It was 1 a.m. Sunday, June 24th, 1990. The 31-year-old woman told police she went to a house on East 71st Street in Cleveland. She sat beside Sol on a love seat and started drinking.
Oh, yeah, so, a love seat. He's a devil. Yeah,
I bet he put some Barry White on.
Here's the thing. Is she a hooker? Okay. Like, is that the story here?
He's trying to get in her pants and she's
no, I know, but is she a hooker?
I don't know. We don't know. At this point, we don't know.
So, anyway, Sol got up. The police report says and came up behind her and started choking her.
Maybe he's just friends with benefits.
My friends don't choke me, so I'm just saying.
Maybe they should.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Really, Pot?
You get that tingly feeling all over your hands. It's that autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't think it's autoerotic if someone else is doing it.
Well, whatever. I don't know.
I think they just call that assault.
Yes, I think you're right.
Let's see. He starts choking her, and not like the cool Darth Vader choking. Right. Like he actually has his own hands on her.
Right.
And he was spewing a stream of obscenities.
Oh, so not only was he choking her, he had attitude.
And he was describing sex acts and how and where he was going to violate her, and announcing that she was his bitch and she better learn to like it.
Well, I think at that point she kind of was a bitch.
That was in my wedding vows.
Yeah. You said that Dave.
From me to Dave.
From you to Dave. You're my bitch and you better learn to like it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's romantic.
It was a warming moment.
Yeah, sure.
It really was. So then he drug her upstairs by the neck and raped her orally, vaginally, and anally.
Okay. Oh, he hit the trifecta.
After she told him that she was 5 months pregnant and begged him to stop.
He didn't do the nostrils, though.
Yeah, he did. Let the ear.
Or the ear, yeah. Well.
Ain't nothing worse than that ear. Fuck it.
First of all, orally, bite it off. Bite it.
Yeah, women have a lot of power they don't realize they have. I don't like.
And you got that small percentage. We had this conversation before of women that got teeth in the vajayjay.
Yeah. No, there's not just a small percentage. There's no percentage.
It's less than 1%.
It's less than 0%.
It's less than 1%.
No,
they got dead in vaginas. They got the great white shark vaginas.
They got
no vaginas. They got two vaginas. I mean, you never know what you get.
Two vaginas
into.
Is
you get
crazy.
Between somebody's legs anymore. Today.
You never know
what you get.
You know,
I
want
to go back to the good old days.
Two vaginas just is a vagina craziness.
Yeah,
that's a lot of upkeep.
I don't walk around with two peckers.
I would if I could.
Well, but you have a duty to disclose.
You do have a duty. The two pecker man.
Yeah,
first of all,
I'm packing two.
You say, sweetheart, before we get intimate, there's something I have to share with you.
I have two peckers, and both of them want someplace to go. So,
and if she's, you know, she gives you the thumbs up, then everything's all right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like any part of this conversation because,
well, I'm just saying, a woman with two vaginas, you should tell somebody. That's all.
Well, not if the other vagina, not if you know, never see the other vagina.
You still have an obligation to disclose.
I don't have an obligation.
Yeah, if you got two vaginas because you can
tell somebody.
You know what? Here is my question. If you have two vaginas, Do you also have two little men in the boats?
Yeah. Do you have two menstrual periods?
Yes, you do.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus, that's half the month.
Yes, you do. That girl when you looked up that one thing, because Tim's cookies on his computer have to be insane.
Yeah.
But when you looked up that one girl, she had two different menstrual cycles. She had two uteruses. She had two everything. But my question is, does she have two clitorises?
Oh,
two clitoral areas?
Yes.
I bet she don't have a G-spot.
She probably got four or five.
She probably talked about it. But yeah. That bitch probably got clitorises on a belly button. She
can't swing a dead cat without hitting a clitoris.
No, all you got, she'd be like, oh, rub me that. Honey, that's your hip. Oh, I know, but that's where it's, oh, that feels good. Oh, yeah, right there, baby. Oh, yeah.
Okay, stop.
Little harder.
It's just
come on,
gross.
Baby. All right. Oh, that's it, baby.
Nope.
That's it.
I will not have what you're having. Stop.
Okay.
He's going to be killing babies later.
Oh, my God. Let's see. So the woman told him that she was 5 months pregnant and begged him to stop, and he would not. Instead, he forced her to say, yes, sir, I like it, the police report says.
Well, did she say it?
I don't know.
Okay.
See, now she's sending him mixed signals.
Yeah,
so again, Sol went to sleep. And
he's a tired motherfucker.
Well, Colt 45's got his ass wore out.
Yeah.
And the woman left. She's left. There's not even some dramatic escape plan. Like, she just walked out the front door.
I think that's what the other one should have done.
I bet she was walking kind of funny.
So then she returned with the police about 8 a.m. Motherfucker still passed out. So they arrest him. But charges were never filed after police said the woman could not be found to testify.
Yeah.
But the,
she was buried in his backyard.
Well, that bitch not be testifying.
Right.
This bitch not.
But police finally had their man in the 1989 rape case, and Sol was in jail awaiting trial on those charges. He eventually pled guilty to a lesser charge of attempted rape. And on September 12, 1990, Judge James P. Kilbane sentenced the prisoner to sentenced the prisoner 5 to 15 years in prison. 8 days after sentencing, Sol was taken to the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Corrections in Lorain. This kid from East Cleveland was now 31 and a convict.
So he's off the streets anyway.
Despite his good behavior, the violence of Sol's crime persuaded parole officers to repeatedly deny his request for release, and he served his maximum sentence. He was still in prison in 2002 when he learned that his father, Thomas Sol, had died.
His wife, that woman he was married to, Kim, for a short period of time, she also died while he was in prison.
Oh, that sucks. Sol won two small victories in prison. He, on September 17th, 2002, he took his GED and passed.
Congratulations.
He's an educated rapist. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they had a party for him.
He's educated. He took his GED.
Punch and cake.
That's all they can have. No forks. No sporks.
Yeah. Cupcakes. They had to serve cupcakes.
The second was that Sol gave up alcohol.
Good for him.
And any other intoxicants. Well, you know, it's not like he had a big choice there, but so he gave it all up.
Homemade hooch.
He got clean.
Get that homemade hooch.
Well, yeah, but homemade hooch, I guess if you really need it, it's okay, but it's not very good.
You know, I think he's inspiring me. I'm going to give up alcohol.
You gave up alcohol like 30 years ago, didn't you?
Well, it's much easier for me to do that.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead, Brandy.
But in retrospect, Sol's education and reformation efforts in prison did not prepare him to deal with the problems on the outside. When on June 20th, 2005, at the age of 45, he walked out of prison a free man.
So you're back on the streets.
All you got now is a smarter, rapier guy. And a sober rapier guy.
Yeah, so he can stay awake.
He ain't going to pass out and let people walk away.
When he was released from prison, Sol was apparently clean and sober. A psychological evaluation deemed him unlikely to rape again.
Oh,
so,
good. He got the clean bill of health.
Yeah, I think somebody screwed the pooch on that.
I wonder if he got a certificate to take to employers. Unlikely to rape again.
Yeah. Looky here.
I'm unlikely. I mean, there's a small possibility. I mean,
he had to put it on a little sign thing in his yard.
Yeah. I'm unlikely to rape again.
Yeah. Look at me. All right. So he had to register as a sex offender. He had to report to the Cuyahoga County Sheriff's Office once a year into 2008 federal law.
Once a year?
Until a 2008 federal law mandated that he had to check in every 90 days. He rented out a space in the home of his late father's widow. I don't even know. Sergina?
Yeah. This is near his home.
Seoul.
That was still adjacent to that sausage factory.
Yeah. Well, so that was at 12205 Imperial Avenue in Cleveland. Again, Cleveland. Jesus. Anthony, or Tone, as he was known in the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah, Tone. He was like Tone Loc.
But different.
He did a funky Colt Medina.
He did.
The Wild Thing.
On your leg.
Yes. He did a Wild Thing. That damn dog did a... This soul did a Wild Thing right on your leg.
I know. Let's see. Tone was known, as he was known in the neighborhood, he started dating women who lived or hung out in the poor, crime-ridden Mount Pleasant neighborhood he now called home. Tanja Doss, 43, is one of the women who says she was involved with and, she says, eventually attacked by Soul. Doss said she met Soul in 2005 when she lived across the street from him. At the time, Doss said Soul did not use crack cocaine, but she and Tone drank beer, played chess, and barbecued. Well, is there anything better than that?
No, not really.
He told Doss he'd been in prison, but that he had taken the rap for a crime committed by someone else. Well, he was wrongly accused.
He took responsibility for someone else. You got to admire that about him.
Yes, well, he's a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
Let's see. It was around that time that Soul began dating Lori Frazier, the niece.
Maury Frazier?
Yes, Maury Frazier.
Lori Frazier.
Lori Frazier. The niece of Cleveland Mayor Frank G. Jackson.
Which had to make him really proud.
Yeah. Frankie J.
What if he'd come to like family barbecues or family reunions? Yeah.
They was talking about
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to meet Tone.
They moved in together.
Rapey Tone.
Rapey Tone.
What do you do, Tone? I'm a rapist.
So their on again, off again relationship ended in 2007.
Question.
Yes.
Question. Okay, now we're on workforce development, right?
Okay.
And when we work with people who lose their jobs through no fault of their own.
Yes.
We call them dislocated workers, and one of the criteria is they're unlikely to return to work.
Yes.
So if he's unlikely to rape again, wouldn't he be a dislocated rapist?
I don't know. That's just...
Is he eligible for any benefits?
I don't think so. Wait a minute. He worked in a factory until 2007 when he began collecting unemployment benefits. He then started earning a living selling scrap metal.
That's an honest living.
One of those guys.
So all his neighbors started complaining to the health department of a foul smell in their neighborhood. After his breakup with Frazier, he started dating and meeting women on the internet.
Oh, he was on Craigslist. He's on Tinder.
No, mm-hmm. He was a member of an online dating service stated that he was a master looking for a submissive person to train.
Now,
who isn't?
Should you disclose that you're you're a former rapist when you're on your profile?
Not a master looking for somebody to train, because if you're going to be trained, you want somebody to come in and do vile things to you. I got a question. Did this ever occur today? Well, Renee is a recycling fiend. Okay.
Okay.
And she got one of those little can crusher things.
They love the can crushers.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, we work in a urban, very inner city, low-income area. And you see these some bitches walking around with these huge garbage cans for a garbage bag.
They do not have a can crusher.
Why don't they get a can crusher?
Well, because they're busy trying to get food.
But it costs like $3.99.
They're busy trying
one day,
to get food.
I'll buy you the goddamn can crusher. Just ask me. Well, don't come up and ask me for money for lunch.
You should buy a gross
come
of
up
them
and, ask me
and
hand
and
say,
them out.
Hey, help me out, brother. I need a can crusher here. And
could you proceed, Colonel?
I'm just saying, does that ever occur to anybody?
You should
else
buy
before?
Them in gross and then hand them out.
Oh, you
to
know
the
what? Oh, you know what just it. Happened?
I don't.
It just turned 3:30.
It did.
Yes.
And,
yes. Let's please proceed.
And that's Timmy's leaving time.
It is.
Timmy's in overtime now, so you can count on him on terse, tense comments from Timmy the rest of the way.
Please proceed, Colonel.
Well, about the same time, in May or June of 2007, the woman believed to be the first Imperial Avenue strangler victim, Christian Doja, went missing. That June also marks the first time that an Imperial Avenue neighbor called Councilman Zachary to complain about the odor of decaying flesh.
I hate decaying flesh. Nothing smells worse than decaying flesh.
Well, yeah, I've not smelled that, but...
me neither. I'm just assuming that.
Okay.
Are you?
Yeah, just going out on a limb.
And
my first husband stunk when he was decaying in my basement.
The stink got stronger, and more women went missing at an ever-increasing rate here, I must say. Now, Sol, he was a familiar figure in this ragtag army of men and women who used to push their shopping carts through the snow and sun, and they were scavenging for scrap copper and cans and whatnot.
So, yeah, was it like a little society, you're saying?
Well, it was I believe they tried to unionize at one point, but...
But they had no employer?
Well, they couldn't give an address for the union.
Jesus.
So, okay. So anyway, on Imperial, Sol was a regular and neighborly fixture. He invited others for cookouts, chess games, and malt liquor.
I think Brandy said that.
His libations of... Well, then you repeated it. His libations, Timmy, of choice were 40s of King Cobra.
Nice.
40-ounce bottles of Anheuser-Busch. Malt liquor.
Probably carried it around in a brown bag.
And the reason people
like
that, it's got an alcohol content over 6%.
That'll get you there.
It's cheap, and it don't have hardly any flavor. It's like drinking water.
And it'll make you fall asleep during your raping.
Yeah, it would. So he looked for some neighborhood women who wanted to kick it.
Mm-hmm.
I like
that term, Colonel. You're hip.
Well, when it went by kick it.
They went to Netflix and chill.
By kick it, he meant to smoke some crack, drink a little bit, and get raped.
There you go.
So was known to have a party place beyond the reach of his stepmother, landlady, whose disabilities prevented her from climbing the 2 flights of stairs to the 3rd floor.
Woo-hoo. That's a barrier.
Well, one time she made it all the way up to almost the 3rd floor, but she was crawling, and Sol just pushed her head back down, and she tumbled.
I think you're making that up.
It would have been funny. So anyway, Sol, turning point in his life, he started smoking crack not long after his release from prison.
Yeah, man, once you go down that road, there's no coming back.
But once you go crack, you never go back.
Right.
By 2007, Sol had the gaunt look of a typical chronic crack user.
So sort of like brandy.
Mm-hmm. By 2009, Sol was smoking crack and drinking, a dangerous combination linked by medical studies to aggression.
So you see, I told you.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a pit bull on crack. You ever heard that saying?
Yeah.
Except now it's pit bull on crack and malt liquor.
Yeah.
So... That's like kind of like you, devil.
Yeah, I like
you
now.
Like a pit bull on a crack and malt liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sol admitted to an emergency medical crew that he had been smoking crack and drinking all day when an ambulance showed up at his house in an incident in October 2009. Now, at least 2 women voluntarily went to Sol's in 2009 for what they thought would be kicking it.
Mm-hmm.
But the kicking it start turning into getting your ass kicked. It turned violent, they said. Now, they survived to tell very similar tales. In one case, in extensive interviews, their stories, now one from Tanja Davis, who said in interviews and in a police report, that Sol attacked her on April 21st. And another from a police report about an alleged September 22nd rape involving a 36-year-old former Imperial Avenue resident. It offers some kind of insight into what might happen to these women whose bodies were found. Sol was accused of using alcohol to lure vulnerable people there, alcohol and drugs. And these encounters, they typically began unthreateningly.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be just chilling.
On the left seat.
Yeah, they'd be playing the PS2 or whatever because they didn't have the PS4.
Maybe an Xbox.
Maybe the Xbox, yeah. So they're playing Madden on the couch.
Yeah, or, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you say the wrong thing, much like the devil here. It turns into just a terrible thing. And if he didn't like the question you ask, he'd turn on you. So now in Tanja's case, she said Sol slapped her, choked her, forced her to strip naked, after he ran out of crack. She curled up in the bed and so left her alone.
He got cranky when he ran out of crack.
Well, yeah. Well, that happens when you run out of crack. Mm-hmm. Now, in the September 22nd case, the woman told police that Sol reacted violently after she asked him about another woman who said Sol had raped her. Sol got very angry and raped the woman.
Why do you think that's funny? It's awful.
Well, if you say, hey, my friend Becca says you raped her, and you get all like...
indignant?
You fucking whore! Get your clothes off! You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Colonel.
It don't do much to dispel the notion of guilt.
Right.
When you perpetuate the same crime. Yeah. It's like, no, I didn't steal that candy from this candy store. And then you walk out with a bunch of Snickers in your pocket.
Right.
So anyway, he raped her, tightened an electrical cord around her neck until she passed out. Now, in both cases, he became very calm after the attack, offered her money, food, or clothing.
So he maybe had a little regret.
And let him walk out the door.
See, all of Brandy?
What? Bitches be testifying.
Thank you.
Well, this was only later that they testified. In all of 2007... only one woman whose body was found later at Sol's home went missing. There was a long, if you're him, 1 year gap.
Yeah, I wonder.
Because in 2008, four women linked to him disappeared. And another one claimed he attacked her. The bodies of the four were later found at his home. The fifth woman, she was bleeding when she approached police and told him Sol punched her in the head and demanded she take her clothes off.
That is no way to treat a date.
It's, you know, and the Colonel learning from this, there's certain things that just don't work with women. And even I know that when you're trying to, you know, get romantical with a woman and whatnot.
Romantical.
A punch in the head ain't really the way to do it.
It's not the way to go.
It's not the way to go.
No. Because you risk them punching you back.
Well, plus
women. Never hit someone unless you know you can get away with it.
Women got some hard-ass heads. You're liable to break your hand. I know I tried to punch a devil in the head over there. Might as well punch a big concrete wall. But anyway. Now, he ups the ante in 2009.
She's planning your death. You know that right now.
In 2009, eight women in the neighborhood went missing.
Jesus. Yeah, so he's escalating. Yeah.
And he became, it suggested he had become addicted to the sexual thrills of associated with serial killers. Now, after Debbie Wilson reported an attempted rape on September 22nd, police moved in. Now, Sol's world came crashing down upon him on October 29th, which would be Black Friday if we were back in the Depression era.
And it was almost Halloween.
Yeah. When police went to the house to arrest the gaunt 50-year-old crackhead for the September 22nd case. They never have given her name now. Sol was getting a ride home from a friend when he saw the commotion of emergency vehicles at his home on the night of October 29th.
Yeah, if you're a serial killer and you got dead bodies in your home and you're catching a ride home with a friend and you pull up and there's police cruisers everywhere, not a good sign.
Yeah.
Well, and he actually did. He said, hey, could you, instead of dropping me off here, give me a ride to my sister's house.
Good move.
So he eluded arrest there. Mm-hmm. So they start digging through this house, and they start finding bodies. And they're finding the whole city reacted in horror and disbelief, and the world watched in fascination. Horror.
Horror.
Horror. Horror. Hoorah.
Well, you are like a drunk foghorn leghorn.
So anyway, in total, 11 bodies were found on the property. Mm-hmm. Six bodies were on the third floor where, you know, the old lady couldn't get up to.
Well, he doesn't drive, so he can't dispose of the bodies. You can't take them on the bus. You can't take them on a
You can
bus.
Throw a dead body on Uber.
Oh, can you?
Oh, yeah.
Does that cost more?
No, they just don't. You know, you just got to tell them where to push them out.
Oh, okay.
So, and you know, that's the whole thing I don't get about these serial killers. This some bitch got the energy to rape somebody in the ear, the nose, ear, nose, and throat. Mm-hmm. But he ain't got the energy to just carry the damn body out the house.
Well, there were some reports that he may have had relations with the body after death.
Well, sure, but once the skin starts rotting away and you ain't hitting nothing, I mean, they're giving you a floppy now. You might be hitting them with something that's hard enough to cut diamonds, but you ain't hitting nothing but floppies once the flesh rot away.
Yeah, you're just hitting bone.
Just hitting bone, yeah. I went bone deep on that hoe. But anyway, in total, 11 bodies were found. 6 bodies were on the third floor. 5 were buried in graves. All the dead women were black. All died of strangulation. In reality, please realize they may never know how many women Soule murdered. They did find evidence that he sexually abused the bodies after death.
Yeah.
Now, records of missing persons going back to Soule's June 2005 release from prison, they're being searched and DNA testing is being conducted on the bodies found at Soule's house.
Did they take away his certificate saying that he's unlikely to rape again?
That proved to be wrong.
He had to pull the thing out of his yard.
They actually stopped issuing those certificates after Soule did this. Protesters holding posters of missing loved ones gathered outside his home like they was going to show up somehow. Like, oh shit, you've been looking for me? I've just been up in the bathroom for the last 18
months. I think
months.
Their point was that police did not take their, did not value the lives that were lost.
Because crack whore lives matter too.
Yes, they do.
But crack is whack.
So now the FBI, they're still gathering information to see if he's got some unsolved cases in cities where he once lived. He was convicted July 22, 2009, year of our Lord, 2009.
Yes.
Multiple counts of aggravated murder and offenses for the death of the women whose remains were discovered in and around his imperial home in 2009.
Is he in jail?
He also was found guilty of shoplifting.
Well, throw the book at him.
Well, yeah, he got 16 years for the murders and 427 years for the shoplifting.
There you go.
So anyway, he was found guilty of attempting to kill 3 other women.
Yeah.
When he finally spoke to the jury, he said,
"Dick,
the only thing I want to say is that I'm sorry. I know that may not seem like much.
It really does.
I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart."
Somehow it rings hollow.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. Yeah, the one poor girl, she said, "I can't even go to the bathroom still without it hurting. And you sorry, you want to tell me I'm sorry? No, hell with you." So anyway, in December 2011, his residence at Imperial was demolished on the order, because it was lime green.
No, that was a different house. And I think that got demolished with most of Cleveland at some point.
It was the house where they had the bodies was demolished.
Yes, and he will spend the rest. George Soule will spend the rest of his life in prison for the multiple counts of aggravated murder. He did not get the death penalty.
And you know what the irony of this is? Where is he imprisoned?
He is in Chillicothe Correctional Institution in Chillicothe, Ohio.
And you know what's right outside Chillicothe, Ohio? The Mead paper plant, and it stinks like a mug up there. So he still has a terrible odor surrounding him. A funk in the air, if you will.
Oh, good guy. That's funky.
That's why they had to demolish that house. You can't get rid of that stench.
Yeah.
Once you get the dead body smell in there,
you can't get rid of that.
You know what happened? One of my dumbass boys, and I know it was Logan, We got bedrooms that we don't use in the house, you know, because the boys are in college. And one of them goes into the bedroom, and I'm like, "Make sure the cats don't follow you in there." The cat followed him in there this week, or before he was leaving. He was looking for something in Tanner's room, get a suitcase. Cat follows him in there. He shuts the door. The cat don't meow, don't do nothing, whatnot. Cat was trapped up there for a whole 2 days.
Oh. Shit all over that room.
It did not, but I believe the cat might have taken a whiz, and now I got to go find out where.
Yeah.
Didn't have none to eat, so it didn't have.
You know, when Renee's away, you can take a whiz wherever you want in the house.
You know what, Timmy, yesterday?
You should take a whiz in every room.
Yesterday, I was doing the dishes, and you know how when the warm water hits your head?
Uh-huh.
I just took a whiz right where you rinse the dishes.
I mean, like, you should do it like every corner. Just drive her crazy.
You should mark your territory.
No, because then Rudy will start doing it. It'll be an ongoing battle.
Mark your territory. Okay. Brandy, any final thoughts on the Cleveland Strangler, Anthony Soule?
Nah, he was a dick.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't a very good guy. Colonel, do you have any final thoughts on the Soule man?
I will just say once again, reiterate, crack whore lives matter. It's if you want to send your donations.
And if you're going to be a serial killer, you have to remember
Bitches be testifying.
Bitches be testifying.
Bitches be testifying. But if you need it, listeners, if you want to contribute to the Dead Crack War Fund, you can get a hold of me through the Facebook page.
Yes.
Make a small donation.
$3.50. Brandy.
Yes.
Where can people find us?
They can find us on Facebook.
You can find us either at History Dweebs or History Dweebs Podcast. Join our group, and you can interact with us. It's have a whole lot of fun. Fun and merriment.
Yes.
You can find us on YouTube now. Oh, what's the holdup, Charlie? You ain't got our stuff on YouTube? Oh, what's the hang-up?
I haven't sent her anything.
Huh?
I haven't sent her the
That's
stuff.
The I don't care. That's the kind so of
way
shit
to,
I got
way
from
to
her.
Be a dick. You have all the stuff and just didn't do it. She doesn't have the stuff.
Stop talking. I don't want to hear no excuses.
You can find us on Twitter.
Yeah, at HistoryDweebs1.
On Stitcher.
Stitcher.
We're going to be on the Jimmy Kimmel
On the
show?
iTunes.
Yeah, we're all over the
We
place.
Are not going to be on Jimmy Kimmel.
And if you listen to us on iTunes, please leave us a review. That's how other people find us. And that's it. We'll see you all again next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.